Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. East of Midnight, the Chalmers Trilogy by Karen Humanek is a Christian novel about a blossoming relationship that falls apart after a catastrophic accident and is rebuilt through faith, growth, and forgiveness. The Blue Ink Review describes East of Midnight as a romance with carefully drawn, fully dimensional characters and a rich, enveloping description of Southern university life and a message that morals and values never go out of style. A native of Durham, North Carolina, Karen lives with her husband John in Greenville, South Carolina. She earned a bachelor's degree in biology, then worked in cancer research and clinical microbiology before earning a master's in landscape architecture. At age 50, she decided to try her hand at writing after numerous comments about her op-ed letters she sent to a local newspaper. Karen Humanek is also the author of Choices and Secrets, Book 2 of the Chalmers Trilogy. And Karen, author of East of Midnight, the Chalmers Trilogy, and 2022 American Writing Award finalist, Legacy Category, joins us on This Week in America. Karen, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
What a great story you tell in this, and we're talking specifically about book one. We'll talk about the others in the series as well, but where did this idea for this book and the trilogy come about? Where did this idea begin?
Well, as you noticed, I started writing those op-eds. At the time, my son was in high school, and I could see the difficulty that young men face. I mean, it's tough to be a young man today and trying to find romance. Women think it's hard, but it's harder for the guy. And so I wrote a book from the guy's point of view to help girls understand that no, men don't think the way we do. They think quite differently, but they are really good guys if you know them. So I have a unique situation in life. I don't have any direct female relatives, blood relatives, outside of my granddaughter and my mother, who has now passed away. So I have no nieces, sisters, or anything of that sort. But I have brothers, uncles, nephews. I literally have no nieces. It's crazy.
So that is amazing. Yes, you do have a unique sense of what guys go through, and thank you for writing something from a male perspective. That doesn't happen often enough. Karen Humanek, our guest on the program, is Humanik. The book is available wherever books are sold, East of Midnight, the Chalmers Trilogy. By the way, her website, thechalmerstrilogy.com. Get all the information there and order all of the books in the series. Let's talk about where this begins, the story. Where does it take place? What location are we talking about?
Well, the story centers around a western North Carolina town. It sits at the base of the, in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains, called Chalmers. And it follows three families out of that town. It occurs in the East of Midnight, occurs rather heavily in Duke and Carolina, in Durham and Chapel Hill. So, but it's mostly about the town of Chalmers, and it's just a little imaginary town.
You do a great job of bringing that town to life, and all the reviews I've read, people say, I feel like I'm there. You've created this this setting, and we really feel like we understand that. Talk about what it takes to really develop so you feel like the reader can actually sense being in that town and watching these people as they go through the story.
Oh, that's an interesting question. Well, when I was in high school, a friend said to me, Karen, you are so opinionated. And I thought, no, it took me a while to realize I was merely observing people. When I went for my master's in landscape architecture, I went into city planning as opposed to the environment, which I'm an environmentalist from way back. But I like people and I have fun watching people. So I would say that a lot of this came out of just years of watching people and seeing how people react.
Yes.
And everybody's different. I think we have a tendency to be too quick to judge. And there are surprises throughout this whole series. I want to kind of take a little leap to explain the nature of the story, because so many stories today, they're supposed to be avant-garde, I guess is the old word for it.
Yes.
But there is, for thousands of years, storytelling was based upon the hero's journey. And the hero's journey gets its name from Hercules and Odysseus going through these journeys. And the concept is very simple. A good example is Hamlet. It starts out with a flawed character, but he has a purpose. His purpose is to clear his father's name. And he goes through and he makes a lot of bad decisions and a lot of bad things happen, but he is always striving for this purpose of saving his father's name. Now, in the end, it's a tragedy because he dies, but he is complete. He gets to where he's at. And I love stories like that. History, novel writing didn't start until the 15th century and really began to come to its fruition in the 17th century and 18th century. But we've lost it. They don't take the time to go from recognizing this is a flawed character, see them go through their difficulties, and then emerge a better person,
yes.
Even if it's not a happy ending, which Hamlet's obviously not a happy ending. So that's the basis of this whole trilogy. There's a whole series of arcs. So the first arc is the one you described. It's between Cameron and Lydia, and he's a UNC student and she's a Duke student. So I had a little fun with the location and stuff, but that is also where I grew up. But the trilogy goes through several other arcs. There is an arc that goes to the end of Choices and Secrets, and then there is an arc that begins as a tertiary character in East of Midnight, and you see her arc in the last story. But there are other characters, and you see them come together. So in the last story, in the one that's yet to be written, is laid out. I'm organized. I lay things out, and I look to how these things all work together. Is that you'll see people who were minor characters in the earlier stories that they've actually gone through a journey, but all of the characters end up going through a journey and finding what is a marriage? What does it take to be married? So, it starts out with a couple. You look at the downfall of a marriage and Choices and Secrets, but then you look in the third book and you begin to see, what does it take? I've been married 42 years. What does it take to be married for 42 years? So it's kind of it's not an autobiography, trust me, it's not. But it's a lot of different characters. It's people I've known,
yes.
Marriages I've seen grow, marriages I've seen look like they're going to fall apart and then heal. There are a lot of things that marriages go through that living together doesn't satisfy, and there's reason. Can I keep talking?
Yes. No, I'm fascinated by all of this, and I'll go back and pick up on a couple of points, but it's fascinating how you've developed this story and know where the story is going, even the story you haven't actually written as yet.
Well, it's interesting. People say, a story writes itself. Yes, it does. However, it's the details that write themselves. The over-arc should never write itself. The overarching journey basically... when I started to write East of Midnight, I looked at my son and I wanted to show that it's hard to meet somebody. It's hard to communicate with them. Well, at the end of the story, it still leaves you with them it's not a happily ever after married. It's merely that they've gotten over that jump of going from
yes.
being good friends to being romantic. Of a romantic interest. They aren't lovers, not in the modern term of lovers, because this is a Christian story, but they've gotten past that getting to know each other. They're ready to set forth into into a new relationship between themselves. And what happens is, and this is not spoken of in society very often, and I don't know why. I'm not trying to analyze the whys. I look at the what is. And that is that the first line of a marriage is, we're going to try and work this out for better or worse. It's a contract. It's a social, marriage is a social contract.
Yes.
It's a religious contract, but it's a social contract. with the overarching theme of we better work hard to make this work. When you live together, the first line is, I can leave anytime I want, and so can you. And people don't understand that that does not, that is a terrible foundation to build a relationship. I mean, I've got a friend who's, she's been my best friend. I mean, truly best friend. I'm a redhead. She's a redhead. We just think alike for 40 plus years. We're friends, but lovers are different. There is a binding when a man and a woman come together. I would say that if a gay man knows, and two gay men, two gay women, at some point they bind if they choose to get married, because they too take that sense of, I'm going to make this work no matter what. But it doesn't. Too often it falls apart, and they don't get past that sense. I mean, and couples will get, that's why we have divorces, because they, when they get married, they think, oh, but there is an interesting side of getting married and divorce. If you divorce, your friends come around you and they say, oh, I know you tried, and they go through the divorce, they listen to it, and they're all right, and it's all kinds of different emotions.
Yes.
But it's very public. And then when a couple breaks up that's lived together maybe 10, 15, 20 years, there's, what do you do? What do you say to them? It's hard. It's very, very lonely and sad.
I love the perspective you bring to this. It is so relatable, and I read that in the reviews that people love the characters because they're characters like us, aren't they? They are flawed characters. It's not everything is roses in the lives of these people. And you mentioned Cameron and Lydia. Let's talk about Cameron, an interesting character with a couple of strong males in his life, his grandfather and his father. Explain those relationships. Those are complicated as well, aren't they?
Oh, they are, and we underestimate how they influence who we become.
Yes.
You know, today it's, who am I? Who am I? Well, we all are part of somebody's, these people in our background. And there are people, no matter what, in our background that will influence us. And so there's a conflict that's not explained. Why does Cameron's father not like his father? What is this strange jealousy that he feels for Cameron as opposed to his son, Trent? And yet, even though he is the father, Randy, really likes his son, Trent, he's jealous of Cameron. And what causes this? Well, there are things in Randy's past and in his father's past that cause these things to be. And there's no fault, but there are people who try to work it out. And it's the justification to all these things is trying to work out those troubles, because that's that meat of a hero's journey. The starting point and the ending point are the whoever wrote them up.
Oh, exactly. Yes.
Knows where they are. But it's the meat of the story is in that part of how do you work? What are the hurdles they face? What do they overcome? And what do they learn about themselves? I would like to say that today and this week, millions, tens of millions of American Christians will go together for a Bible study, and they will buy some form of self-help. They will buy a nonfiction. Well, the thing about fiction, and it's in the Bible throughout, is that stories, whether they're a biography, an autobiography, or whatever, they get into those details. They get into that sense of the journey in between the beginning and the end. And that's why people are drawn to Cameron. I have hear people say, oh, I'm rooting for Cameron. And the funny thing is, I had a friend who's a patient of my husband's who said, and this is early on, and she's just a little Southern lady, and she says, I'm rooting for Justin. I know that in your next book, you're going to do something good with Justin. And that, for a writer, is just glorious, because you know that she really felt the different characters in it. She really immersed herself in the book. And that's when a narrative can overcome a nonfiction. because a nonfiction tells you to do this, this, and this. But a narrative touches the heart.
Well, and it takes skill on the part of an author, and you do that. Our guest on the program is Karen Humanik. That's H-U-M-E-N-I-U-K. Book is available Amazon, wherever books are sold, and information on Karen's website, thechalmerstrilogy.com. The book we're talking about specifically, East of Midnight, a book we'll talk about here in a second, number two in the trilogy, Choices and Secrets. Talk about that, because you're not just taking a character and saying the character did this. You're explaining, as you just mentioned, why the character did that. You really go into these characters in depth. Talk about writing from that perspective. What kind of outline do you have going into this, or does some of this develop as you're telling the story?
Well, Choices and Secrets grew out of the life, the situations in other words, as I wrote East of Midnight, I saw these other stories. So it's planted. East of Midnight has planted in it characters and a little question, like one chapter in it is like, why is this chapter here? It's there because it wants to tell you what's going to happen in Choices and Secrets. What Choices and Secrets, I love the title because every one of us makes choices every day, and we all have secrets.
Yes.
Some we admit to ourselves, and some we can't admit. Something happened in our past, an assault or whatever else, and we just walk away from it. So we have secrets we don't even know we have. And that's what comes out in this next story. And it begins to explain why Cameron and his, it explains why Randy and his father have such a conflict. And it goes back to a grandmother. It goes back to his father's, in other words, this his name's Ben. He's Judge Asher. It goes back to his father-in-law and the influence of, his mother-in-law and the influence that the mother had over her daughter, Randy's mother, and over Randy indirectly. And these are really deep relationships because they are hard for us. They are deep in their secrets that we just don't want to talk about. And they can force us to have new secrets that we really wouldn't like to have as a secret. And that's what happens with Cameron's grandfather, is that he has a secret that Cameron discovers in the middle of the story. And why is it in the middle of the story versus the end of the story? And the reason is the person making the biggest journey in that book is Justin and Randy. They are secondary in the first book, but they become primary in the second book. And that's when you really get to know these characters. And they set up for the third book. I originally was just going to do two books. When I got to the end of it, I said, this is a happy ending. This is tying up too quickly. This doesn't explain why these people are doing things. So this third book basically takes and looks at a line of, it looks at five families, and it says, how do these marriages work? One marriage will disappear. It'll fall apart. Two will recombine, and two new ones come out. And it's all about marriage. You've got to have the choices and secrets to see the things that we do stupidly to get to the third book, where we see we kind of can straighten things out.
The books are now, the first two are now available, East of Midnight, the Chalmers trilogy, and out now, as well as the second in the trilogy, Choices and Secrets. How are you coming on the third book? Is there a title for it? And when do you think we'll be able to read that?
Well, the second book, Choices and Secrets, will be out in next month.
Okay.
I'm in the edit. I'm sitting here looking at the editing on it, and oh my gosh, editing.
more fun to do the writing, I assume, than do the editing.
Well, especially when you didn't have a single English class in your background, science, biology, design. No one talks about commas. Nobody talks about commas. But in answer to your question, you asked me a question about the third.
Do you have a title for it, and when do you think that will be out?
I don't know when it'll be out, but I do have a title. And what that book helped me understand, just from a Christian point of view, this its title comes from 1 Corinthians 13. And people used to get married, they go, oh, this is our promises, blah blah, back in the 70s when my friends and all gave me, it was a very popular quote, 1 Corinthians 13. But they never got to the end of it. And the last line of it is, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And there, it looks at, the title comes from that chapter, and it is In a Mirror Dimly. And the sense in that, what that wonderful chapter in Corinthians says is that we see life as it is, but we looking in a mirror very dimly. Yet we are known fully, and someday we will be known, we will know as fully as we have been known. And that's the key, is that in the third book, there is a whole lot of discovering that they've been looking in these mirrors dimly, and yet they still, even at that, there's a future. They have, each of these characters have future. They can go on. And so there's a going on from this. But it really does look, and you start to see that what you saw dimly in the first two books makes sense.
Yes.
And you weep for some, and you rejoice with others.
The series, the trilogy will be out soon. I didn't mean to cut you off there. Go finish that thought.
Well, the third one is outlined, and the details are filling in. But I'm in the process of looking for a standard publisher so that I can write that book, because self-publishing is a nightmare. I mean, and you don't go anywhere. I mean, it's sort of like a dead end. But I have two books, and I have interviews like this, and I have other reviews that I will be able to go to an agent and say, okay, this book is not a genre book. It doesn't just fit into any of these spots. It's an old-fashioned character study.
Yes.
So.
But time is going by so quickly, and hopefully we can do this again, talk maybe a little bit more about Choices and Secrets, and talk about the third book in the trilogy when that comes out. But very briefly, from a writer's standpoint, talking about writing, it's not like you sit down and today I'm going to take the character here. You are really involved in the character, emotionally involved in the character. How challenging is that to write with these people from that perspective? It's not just, well, today he drove from Cincinnati to Dayton and he stopped three times along the way. I mean, you really go into the psychological aspect of the character. How challenging is that? How emotionally draining is that to develop these characters? I would think you feel like you really know them by the time you're done writing the characters.
Well, I do. And a good author, I believe, truly does. I believe if you go back through even Dickens, all of these things, they knew their characters. And that's what you see coming through. Draining is true, but what I do is I journal. I journal not the way most people journal. I journal on my phone. So if something happens, I write a little note down. So I'm constantly writing notes down, and I'll go through my notes. And the key that it all comes down to, I'm not a person who cries easily. There's this movie back in the 70s called Love Story.
Oh, exactly,
And everybody went, oh! Well, I had spent the summer before that movie came out working as a ward secretary, and I saw a patient die right in front of me. And she called out, I'm dying. And lo and behold, she did. And she was across the state. She was right in front of the nurse's station where I would sit there taking notes. And when I saw the end of that story, I'm going, no, I'm sorry. This is, and I started laughing. Oh, I was terrible. And the guy I was with, my date, was like horrified. What are you doing? But it did not connect with me. It just simply did not connect. I thought it was hysterical. I mean, I was just terrible, but I mean, I hated that movie. I was one of those people who, it got all of this. I was probably first in line with all the comments about it. But at any rate, I would look to see if I could feel my emotion. In other words, if I reread it and it made me want to cry, I knew I had my audience. If it made me want to laugh, I knew I had my audience. And that's really what I would do. Is I would just kind of go back. I would write it, and of course, I had my husband coming along and saying this, Karen, that's not what a guy would do. Or as he said last night in looking at the final editing of Choices and Secrets, he says, kudos, you use kudos too much. Guys never use kudos. I said, what would they say? Well, I got that one. So I also listen. the object there is I do a whole lot of listening.
Watching and listening.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the keys. It's been a fascinating conversation. Our guest is Karen Humanik. If you're Googling, that's Humeniuk. The book, The East of Midnight, is now out, the Chalmers Trilogy. The book, 2022 American Writing Award finalist, legacy category, soon out in a matter of days. And you can check Karen's website to find out when you can order a copy. The second in the series is Choices and Secrets, and soon coming out, the third in the trilogy. Karen's website, as I just mentioned, thechalmerstrilogy.com. I want to thank Pen to Paper Press for arranging our conversation with Karen today. Karen, the time has gone by too quickly. It's been a pleasure. I love talking with you. The approach you've been to writing, which is why the book is receiving rave reviews. Thank you for being with us on the program. Hopefully we can do part two of this. Thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you again for having me. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
It was a pleasure. Our guest on the program, Karen Humanik, the book East of Midnight, the Chalmers Trilogy. Karen's website, again, thechalmerstrilogy.com. Information on our website and a link at thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.